So good morning. My name is Erin Glanville, lead pastor here at Artisan. If I haven't met you before, I would love to. So come say hi after the service, or the gathering, as we call it. I also have to say that I have never worn red and purple together. So I feel like I have to explain myself. It's not a common color combination in my wardrobe, but I was looking for Pentecost colors this morning. And I was like, this is all I have. Like, these are my spirit colors. and my shoes, my high school Docs, and some earrings. So I noticed a few of us, but not many of us, have, like, we got some spirit colored clothing. I don't mean to point you out. But anyways, today is Pentecost, and I love to actually live into these calendar feast days by taking the colors and putting them on myself. It's one of the ways that I feel like we can embody the celebration and the different kinds of celebrations that we have. So today at Pentecost, I've decided to put aside my pride and wear purple and a maternity shirt, red shirt. So there you go. So Pentecost. Pentecost is this really uncommon, unprecedented event that actually launches an energized and energizing common life, a common life that's translated into lots of very ordinary but different languages and cultures. It's one of those events that I wish that I could have experienced in person, because so much of the story is about how remarkable and unprecedented the sensory experience was, right? And you can imagine it is so hard to put that in words. We didn't really hear it in the version that we read today, but if you look at the version that's in what we used to call pew Bibles, or the Bible that's sitting on your chairs around you, you can see the writer really trying hard to articulate something that can't be articulated. And you see it in the language where he's like, in verse 2, there was a sound and it was filling the upper room, the small upper room of the house, and it was like a strong wind blowing. Like, that's as close as we can get. We're going to use a simile. It's like a strong wind blowing. And then they see something. And then that something looks kind of like fire, and it separates into pieces and comes to each one of them. You can imagine the writer trying to be like, I'm trying to describe what happened to us, and I'm not even sure. So it's kind of like wind. It's kind of like there was this fire, and then people start talking in these languages that they hadn't learned before. Like, this isn't unknown language, right? It's known languages that they didn't know. So it's like Aaron begins speaking Cantonese and Scott begins speaking Japanese, except that he actually knows Japanese. Did you know that? A little bit. He's like a little bit. He doesn't want to claim too much. So do you know Spanish? No. So it's like, what's that? See, so Scott begins speaking Spanish. It's like not like they're remembering a forgotten language. The writer reiterates in verse 4, no, this is like genuinely outside the realm of human possibility for them. So the person retelling this event is really trying to put into words something that is just like outside of the language that they have to speak about. Something that's not exactly clear what happened. It's like a wind blowing through everything, filling the air, the crevices, leaving nothing still. And like the wind, the spirit wasn't invoked. It wasn't commanded to be there by the people. It just arrived. It arrived in this moment of waiting and praying and not knowing what to expect. And so people are asking a really good question. In verse 12, they ask, what does this mean? Right? When you have something kind of unprecedented happen that's outside of your realm of experience, you're like, what does that mean? What's that about? And in what follows, Peter connects this strange moment to Jesus and to the gift that Jesus promised to send his disciples back in Acts. And he says, look, this is further proof. Jesus' way has power. He was who he said he was. But the outcome of Pentecost is so like ordinary and common. We didn't quite get there in the passage. Once this moment settles down, the next question, after what does this mean, is, so then what should we do? Like, what are we supposed to do with this? Like, it moves very quickly to action, to praxis. What does it mean? And then if it means that Jesus' way was an authentic way, he was who he said he was, what should we be doing? And verses 42 to 47, which we didn't get to, describe the outcome of this disruptive event. It's a shared life that looks a lot like what Jesus' life looked like before he left, except that it's energized in a different way, and it's energizing in a different way. And the membership of it is broken right open. So now it's like, take this, translate it into your languages. This is for everyone, and it's going to be spoken differently according to who you are and where you come from. So it's Jesus' way being given as a gift for people to take and translate into their own contexts. So the outcome of that Pentecost day is this very, is the common. I was really captivated by this word, common. And maybe you'll kind of hear it as I say a few things now about it, but the shared life or the common, Willie J. Jennings is the one who kind of honed in on this word for me this week as I was reading his writing on Acts 2. He notes how the 12 men who are standing there in front of this group of people, speaking these languages, doing strange things, he says, none with exceptional credentials, no fabulous educational pedigrees, none with reservoirs of immense cultural capital, like they didn't know the languages that they were speaking. They stand there with nothing more than a message. And he says, in this original moment of the church, he calls it primordial, right? Like this original moment of the church, he says, quote, the image standing before these gathered does not carry gravitas. It doesn't have a sense of like, this is important, right? It can never match its message. This image of the church can never match the message it carries, nor will it ever, he says. This is the eternal imbalance that will mark preaching, a message far more powerful than its message, or a message far more powerful than it, the people who offer this message. And I feel that every time I preach, it's this sense of like, there's this incredible thing, and it's just, you're never going to actually match up to the message, and there's something actually wonderfully freeing about that. For us as the church, even, to know we try, we share life, we work towards holding things in common, we work towards following Jesus' way. But here in this opening moment of the church, the people were underwhelming, and the message was so much bigger, and so much of it was lost. And that's just kind of the imbalance, right? The incarnation of Jesus' message in us. It so much lacks gravitas that people make fun of them. Yeah, oh, they're drunk. That's what it looked like to people. They're just drunk. So the chapter starts with this writer trying to explain this unprecedented, full-bodied sensory experience. And by the time we get to the end of the chapter, we actually have, if you look at verses 42 to, I think it's 42 to 47, we have this like really incredible short passage where the sentences get very short and clear and concrete. Like it moves from this, this thing that happened, I don't even know how to put it into words, and it comes right down into when the mysterious, the hard to articulate is put into action, it launches something that's just really obvious, actually, something that's really familiar and really simple. The believers studied what the apostles taught. They shared their lives together. They ate and prayed together. Everyone is amazed at what God was doing. The apostles performed many wonders and signs. I mean, that might be a little bit more exciting there, but all the believers were together. They shared everything they had. They sold property and other things they owned. They gave to anyone who needed something. Every day they met together in the temple courtyard. They ate meals together in their homes. Their hearts were glad and sincere. They praised God. They were respected by all the people. So notice this sort of like simplicity, this sort of like, they did this, they did that. They felt this way together. They were respected by all the people, and every day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. There's enough food. The enslaved and the slaver are in the same room eating together. They shared their survival together. They survived together in a world where many of them weren't going to survive. There was joy, there was hope for the future. It's this sort of like familiar, common activities done in such a way that actually it feels really different. Jennings again says, "For those who heard this message, a new social reality begins to take hold of them, moving between three wonderful points of reference: the apostles' teaching and communion, sharing in meals, and prayer. And these characteristics will make this new community. It'll make this new community and be the way that communities in the future are identified as part of this story. They birth a recognizable contrast community." So, Pentecost is this uncommon, even unprecedented event that launches an energized and energizing common life. And its components are regular, they're familiar, they're ordinary. It's a shared life of joining together. Part of the way that it is launched in this sort of like contrast way, so it looks different, people notice that it's different, is the way in which it's translated. So if we ask the question of like, what kind of ways might we together think about our life and our commonness, like how we hold things in common, the things we do together, how might we do that in such a way that it prompts curious questions the way the early church did, or in ways that attracts people in droves? Not that that's the aim, but like there was something going on there that was curious to people. I think the answer is going to be plural, and it's going to be local. So do you know what I mean by that? Like how we look like the church that we see in this story, the people of God, is going to look plural, and it's going to look local. Like that Jesus is good news for a place, you actually have to know about that place and its peculiarities and what it needs, what good news it needs in order to know how to live in such a way that we are good news, right? So I think when we see the translation in the languages, this is one of the places where it comes out. We most often think about language as communicating, like trying to get something across, but language is also, it's our culture. It's our connection to place. It's our connection to family and past. It's a connection to our structure. It's the structures that help us understand the world. It gives us categories, possibilities for how we understand things. So if someone takes time to learn your language or learn your place or learn your culture, they're actually taking their way of thinking and they're submitting it to yours in a sense. For those who are like have a couple different languages in their back pocket, you'll probably know this better than most of us. So this like, you actually have to take your way of understanding the world and put it into new categories, new ways of thinking. And there's actually a real humility to that, right? So in this moment, this original moment of the church, the good news of Jesus is put into kind of humbled and translated into these different cultural languages. All right. We actually are going to do a little bit of work on this together. We're going to do a creative activity, and maybe I should have warned you at the very beginning of the sermon, but if I had, you might have walked out. So I'm going to invite Scott to come up, and just to explain, we're moving this idea of translating Jesus as good news into local places is what this activity is about, and I'm going to invite Scott to explain it.
Kind of feel bad upsetting this beautiful flow, and everyone was enjoying. I was enjoying listening to Aaron's voice talking about Pentecost, and now I'm just gonna shake things up. So apologies ahead of time, but I also am hopeful that this will be a good exercise. So we're actually going to arrange the room in neighborhoods, and before you freak out or panic, I will gently and very clearly explain how that is going to happen. And I have kind of a side motive. As many of you know, my title with Artisan Church is Pastor of Community Formation. So I'm actually excited. We're going to talk about neighborhoods and how we can bless neighborhoods, and we have some questions and stuff like that. But a side motivation for me is you're going to get to see people that live near you, and you're going to get to learn people's names. So that's exciting. So if you've noticed already around the room, and what I want you to do is start to place yourself in the room. So if we go to this Vancouver map, I want to explain how I'm translating this into the room. So that map is going to go from there here, like this way. So if you're already disoriented, imagine UBC and Dunbar way over here. How many people live out this way toward UBC, Dunbar? Yeah, a couple. Well, when the time comes to move, I want you to move over to this side. And it's not going to be every neighborhood. So if you're close enough, come out if you're on this west side, including Point Grey and Southlands, okay? So that's one area. And then we go all the way to the other side of Vancouver and past, right behind Jessica there, there's a sign that says Burnaby, New West, and anything east of Vancouver, because we recognize there's people coming from outside of the city to church. So how many would be in that category? Burnaby, New West, and east, yes. So I want you guys, when the time goes, to go to Burnaby, New West, and east of Vancouver. So this is where the map gets a little interesting. And it's not going to be perfectly to scale, but we have the downtown and West End. Gillespie's. Anyone else in the downtown area? Yeah, West End. You're going to go over there. We've got North Van and West Van. That's a big category, but I know there's some from there. Put up your hands if you're North Van, North Shore. Yep, you're going to go over there. Hastings Sunrise. How many of you are in Hastings Sunrise? Yep, you're going to go over there. And then on this side, we have one specific category for people that are out-of-town visitors. So if you are not from Vancouver or the Lower Mainland, you can go over there, and it's close to the door if you're like, I'm out, this is too much. It's right there. You just go out the door, grab a coffee or whatever, or talk to people that are also from out of town, get to know them. South Van, Marple, Oak Ridge to Killarney. This is where I live with my family. How many of else in South Van, that kind of area? Yeah, we're going to go over there. And then Richmond and south of Vancouver. So if you live in Richmond or south of Vancouver, you're going to go here. That could include Tawasin or Delta as well. And I have some stuff to fill up the middle. So we're going to go Kitsilano, Fairview. That's going to go right here. Mark, you can hold that. You can put it down when you move. Carisdale, Shaughnessy. So the Kitsilano, Fairview, is that any of you in the room? Yeah. You're going to go over to this section where all of you people are sitting. And then Carisdale, Shaughnessy. Anyone in that area? Or nearabouts, maybe Arbutus Ridge. Yeah. That's going to go right here in this section. Can you hold that for me there? Thanks, buddy. Downtown East Side, Strathcona. I'm going to give this to Adria because she's there already. So perfect. And you can stay there if you're Strathcona, Downtown East Side. Mount Pleasant, Riley Park is going to go over here. Any of you guys live in Mount Pleasant or Riley Park? No? Yeah? Jesse, can you come over here right now and just hold it? And Jesse's going to gather all the Mount Pleasant, Riley Park people right here in this section. Yeah, you can sit down. Thanks. Commercial Drive and Victoria Drive is going to go right here where Jeff is, but these guys are going to move to the North Shore, unfortunately. And then East Van, Renfrew. So this is like far further east. I'm not getting every neighborhood, but almost, okay? So East Van, Renfrew can be in this section. When I say go, don't run, but, you know, quickly and efficiently go to your locations and form a circle with the people in your neighborhood or in that area. If it's a very large circle, try to split up into two circles and figure out who's closest to each other, okay? Does that make sense? And then we have some prompts and questions. So I invite you to go to your areas. Thank you. Thank you. Good job. We're all civil. We're all calm people.
Okay. So. Okay, can I grab your attention for a second? I just want to launch you into this. So, as a reminder for why we're doing this, because this is a bit weird And for visitors, we haven't done this for many years at least. So what we're doing here is we're thinking like at Pentecost, there was this moment where the good news of who Jesus was and what Jesus' way looked like got translated into lots of different languages and cultures. And I feel like in some ways, Vancouver is a city of neighborhoods, right? Neighborhoods is a really strong building block in the city. And each neighborhood has different feelings about it. I was actually out in Burnaby, where you guys live, and I went to an A&W in Burnaby this week, and I thought, I do not know the language of Burnaby. I had that really strong sense, like this is a different language here, right? Different cultural language than where I am on Commercial Drive. So I want us to kind of explore that, because this is where the rubber meets the road or hits the road, right? When we think about what Jesus' way looks like. So in your groups, know your names, you know, start off by making sure everyone knows each other's names. And then we're going to have two questions and then a very short prayer writing exercise to do together. The first question is about what is characteristic of your neighborhood. And you can think in terms of your city or the area that you live in, you know, translate that to whatever it is in your group. But what's one thing that's characteristic of your neighborhood? In other words, what do you love about where you live, okay? And try to be as concrete as you can be. You don't have to be spiritualizing it. Just like, what do you love about the place that you live? Then when we are done that, we're gonna move to a second question. The second question is, what's one common thing that would make your neighborhood a better place for everyone in it, okay? So we're gonna move from this question about what is it that we love and are grateful for to what is it that we feel the good news that's needed in this space, okay? But we're thinking really concrete and practically. Okay, let's do that. And then at the end, we'll write a prayer together, but I'll explain that to you. Let's take 5 minutes, make sure everybody in the circle gets a chance to say something if they would like. Nobody has to speak if you don't want to. But what's one thing that characterizes your neighborhood? Okay. Can I get you to pause for just a second so I can explain this next piece? So if we pause our conversation and then you can come back to whatever it is that you're talking about in this moment, if you just hold on to it for a second. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna write a collective prayer in each neighborhood based on the things that you just talked about. So don't in this moment try to start spiritualizing what you've just talked about. Like, let's just put these things into prayer, okay? So this is what it's gonna look like. And you can do it a bit different than this if you got someone who's creative with words, but this is just to help us to do it collectively. So we're gonna start with, in whatever neighborhood it is that you're in, or you know, like east of Vancouver, or however you wanna describe your place, you give the gift of, and then list some of the things that you were talking about, that you celebrate about your neighborhood. And then, may Jesus' way be good news for this place, and then you can use whatever verb you want. Is it, you want activating? You want the Holy Spirit to be offering? Do you think the church needs to be bringing? You know, like whatever feels right there. And then what is it that you think your neighborhood needs? So literally, if it's like, we need porta potties in the park, put that in there. Okay, more awkward is totally okay. We want this to actually be really rooted in our place. And then we will, I'll give you an example, but then we'll also read some of them out together if you're comfortable with. So this is my example based on our pop-up neighborhood group that we've been having near Trout Lake. So out Trout Lake, you give us live music and intergenerational picnics. May Jesus' way be good news for this place, bringing peace between business owners and people who live rough on the street. Okay, so that's something in Commercial Drive area as an example. That's simpler. You've got a lot of people and a lot of answers in your group, so feel free to add, you know, like add a list maybe that sort of characterizes what your conversation has been. Okay, so we'll start with the what we celebrate. Writing in, and someone in your group has a paper and a pencil. If you're in a very large group and you want to split into a couple different groups to do this, I can just raise your hand and I can bring you another paper and pen. Okay, and we'll take a couple minutes to write this out. Okay, anybody need more time? Are we almost there? Okay. I think we're good. All right. Let's hear from one another. And I would love, as we turn this discussion into prayer, if we could enter into it with a sense of actually our solidarity across neighborhoods, right? We gather together in this place, but a sense of praying for one another and alongside one another as we speak to the specifics of our group. So not all the groups have to share. This is totally voluntary if your group would like to. But is there any group that would like to start? Great, okay. So let's say this first sentence together, and then I'm gonna give you the microphone. So let's say this for all of us in the room. Let's say the first sentence together here. We give thanks.
In belonging, in Strathcona, we give the gift of Jesus, maybe the good news for this place, bringing peace, justice, housing, knowing people's names, honesty, and hope, and so much more in all of these things. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Would you like to share your prayer? Thanks for going first.
In Fairview, you give us the gift of diversity of neighbors, beauty, walkability, and livability. May Jesus' way be good news for this place, bringing continued accessibility for our neighbors to stay, as well as grace between neighbors as many changes occur.
In South and South Vancouver, you give space, parks, and greenery, bring connectedness and community to the neighborhood. Amen.
Okay. In Riley Park West, you give the gift of green space, community centers, and local shops we can walk to. And then for the second one, may Jesus' way be good news for this place, bringing housing affordability for more residents and more community spaces.
Amen.
In east of Maine, west of Clark, you give the gift of restaurants, coffee shops, walkability, good food, cherry blossoms, trees, and nature. And the second one, may Jesus' way be good for news for this place, bringing childcare, community, friendliness, and more fun.
More fun. Is everybody gonna change their prayer now? More fun, add it on the end.
In the south of the Fraser, you give the gift of space, nature, humility, and ice cream. May Jesus be good news for this place, offering accessibility, integration, multicultural community support, and more ice cream.
In the areas east of Vancouver, you give the gift of diversity. May Jesus' way be good news for that place, bringing shared life and getting to know each other. A generosity of spirit, people getting outside more, more patios, and more night markets.
In East Vancouver, near Renfrew, you give us great variety, cultural diversity, beautiful views and quiet parks, great bike routes and delicious food. May Jesus' way be good news for this place, bringing connection, ongoing stable housing, opportunities for young people, relief from poverty for people working hard to stay. May we help to embody and make ways to bring and celebrate links between people, despite and because of our diversity.
In Hastings Sunrise, you give the gift of walkable streets, parks, diversity, family businesses, small town vibes, the ocean, babysitters, and concerts.
May Jesus' way be good news, activate affordable housing and more gathering places.
For North Vancouver and West Vancouver, you give the gift of the outdoors and intergenerational connectedness. May Jesus' way be good news for this place, bringing affordability and diversity, access, and more social connection.
In Kitsilano, you give the gift of beaches, trees, dogs, flowers, walkable and bikeable streets, safety, and a slower pace. May Jesus' way be good news for this place, activating more late-night coffee shops, greater humility, more open doors and neighborhood friendships, greater diversity, and less aversion to discomfort for others' sakes.
Thank you, Jesus, for Commercial Drive. You give the gift of great coffee shops, diversity, acceptance, the mixing of people. May Jesus enhance affordability, enhance community, bring more neighborhood-oriented Christians, bring artists and block parties.
We give thanks to you, God, for you are good. In West End / downtown, you give the gift of diversity and access to nature in an urban environment. And next one. May Jesus' way be good news for this place, providing healthy, safe, and sustainable housing, as well as accessible, free, and welcoming public gathering spaces, as well as pastry places open past 5 p.m. Amen.
Very specific. It's amazing. So may Jesus' common way be launched among us. Oh, you guys, Dunbar and UBC, I'm so sorry.
We give thanks to you, God, for you are good. In Dunbar, UBC / Southlands, you give the gift of nature. May Jesus' way be good news for this place, offering freedom from the need to prove one's value.
And let's just also acknowledge there are a lot of Richmond people, but they're just not here today. So there's a lot of gaps, you know? Our community is not totally represented here, but this is a really great representation of some of us. I was just struck as I listened to you, the number of overlaps among neighborhoods, things we share across our neighborhoods, but also the way some of us answer each other's needs. I don't know if anybody noticed that. Some like needs were actually gifts in other places. So let's just pay attention to that because this is the power of being the body of Christ here gathered from across the city, I think, I hope.